Welcome to your deep dive. Ever feel like, you're just stuck in this storm, you're not alone?
Nope.
Today we are tackling a question that's been around for centuries. How do we face adversity? And we're turning to some ancient wisdom for answers, the words of Jesus.
Yeah, we're going beyond the surface level, really going to be digging into what these scriptures offer for like navigating the challenges you face today.
Okay, so let's dive right in with John 16:33. It's pretty blunt. In this world, you will have trouble. No sugarcoating there.
Right.
But it's what comes next that I find really interesting.
It's exactly. It's like, wow, life's tough. BUT, take heart. I have overcome the world. That's a bold statement, even now.
Right. So what does it actually mean, this whole overcoming the world bit?
Well, think about it. Jesus is saying he's triumphed over the things that typically drag us down, like
Yeah.
sin, fear, even death. It's like he's cleared a path, showing us that we're not just facing these things blindly.
Okay.
There's hope woven in there.
That's a powerful way to look at it, that there's something bigger at play. It actually makes me think about that verse in Matthew 11:28-30, the one that's like a giant exhale. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest.
It's such a beautiful invitation, isn't it? And notice, it doesn't say, come when you have it all figured out, or
Yeah.
come when your burdens are gone. It's an invitation for right here, right now, in the thick of it.
I think that's what resonates with me most. The permission to not have it all together. Like, it's okay to admit when we're struggling, to bring those burdens along. But how do we actually find that rest? Especially when the storms of life just feel relentless.
That's the key question, isn't it? And Luke 21:19 speaks directly to that. Stand firm and you will win life.
It's interesting because, in a world that's obsessed with like quick fixes and easy solutions, this verse reminds us that sometimes the greatest victories come from simply weathering the storm.
I love that. It's like that saying, it's not about how many times you get knocked down, but how many times you get back up. Exactly. And think about it. Every day we see stories of incredible resilience people overcoming immense challenges, pushing past limitations, achieving things that seemed impossible.
Yeah.
That's the spirit of Luke 21:19 in action.
Okay, so we're talking about finding that deep down strength to persevere. But honestly, even with that, facing adversity can bring up so much worry and anxiety. I know I'm definitely guilty of that.
It's completely natural to feel those things. We're human, after all. And this is where those teachings from Matthew 6:25 through 4 become so crucial. Remember that part about like not worrying about your life, about seeking first the kingdom of God?
Yeah.
I think this is where things can get tricky for a lot of us. It's easy to say, don't worry, but when, bills are piling up or you're facing a health scare.
Oh, tell me about it. Like, easy for you to say, Jesus, you weren't facing student loan debt.
But what if it's not about ignoring those very real concerns? What if it's about shifting our focus, grounding ourselves in something bigger, even when those worries, they inevitably creep in?
I see what you mean. It's about where we're putting our energy, our trust. Like, okay, these external things are happening, but my core, my foundation that's rooted in something unshakable. And that kind of reminds me of the classic story of Jesus calming the storm. The one in Mark 4:35-41,
Oh,
where
yeah. The disciples are freaking out. The boat's about to capsize. And Jesus is like catching some Z's in the middle of it all.
it's such a powerful image. And I think for a lot of us, it's relatable. Like, we're in the middle of our own storms, feeling completely overwhelmed. And it's like, where's the help?
And, it's easy to get caught up in the literal storm in that story. But what's really interesting is what it represents.
Exactly. It's about those moments in life when we feel like we're drowning in worry, fear, uncertainty. And then there's Jesus seemingly unfazed.
And it's not that he's dismissive of the storm. He acknowledges it.
Yeah.
But he also speaks to a power that transcends the circumstances.
Yes. And that brings us to that other incredible teaching on peace, the one from John 14:27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. There's something so different about the peace Jesus offers, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. It's not a superficial peace that like comes and goes with our circumstances. It's a deep abiding peace that's rooted in something unshakable.
Yeah, it's like he's saying the world might offer you temporary calm, but I'm offering you something that goes far beyond that. Okay, so we're talking about finding rest, persevering, and tapping into this unshakable peace. But then things take a really challenging turn with the teaching in Matthew 5:44. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Now that feels like a whole other level of deep. I don't know about you, but that's what I'm still working on.
Oh, yeah, I hear you. It's definitely not our natural instinct, is it? I think most of us would rather avoid our enemies than go out of our way to love them.
100%. But what's Jesus getting at here? What does loving your enemies even look like in the real world?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? It's about breaking the cycle of hatred and resentment, about choosing a different response, even when it feels incredibly difficult. It's a radical idea, even today.
It really is. And, you know, it makes me think about that quote from Martin Luther King Jr. Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. It's that radical love that Jesus is talking about, isn't it?
Exactly. It's a love that has the power to transform not just our own hearts, but the world around us. And that's a really powerful concept to sit with.
It is. But let's be real, putting these teachings into practice, especially in the face of real adversity, that's not always easy. In Luke 9.23, Jesus says, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me." I mean, taking up your cross, that's some heavy imagery.
It is. And I think it speaks to the cost of discipleship. It's a reminder that following Jesus isn't always going to be comfortable or convenient.
Yeah, it's about making tough choices. Sometimes even facing rejection or persecution for what we believe in.
Precisely. And that requires a different kind of strength. A strength that comes from knowing we're not alone in those struggles.
And that's where that verse from Matthew 10.28 comes in, right?
Yeah.
"Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell."
It's about recognizing that our ultimate allegiance is to something far greater than any earthly power or authority.
It's about having the courage to stand up for what we believe in, even when it's unpopular or even dangerous.
Because true freedom, true strength, it comes from aligning ourselves with something bigger than ourselves, something beyond our circumstances. And that can be incredibly empowering, especially in the face of adversity.
It's about knowing where our true security lies.
Right.
Not in what other people think, not in our circumstances, but in something much, much deeper.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, it's in those moments when we feel most alone, you know, when we're facing opposition or even like persecution for what we believe in, that the words of John 15:1-21 become so incredibly powerful. Remember when Jesus tells his disciples, "If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first."
Wow. That's a powerful thought. It's like he's saying, "Hey, I get it. I've been there. You're not the first person to face pushback for standing up for what's right."
Exactly. And in that shared experience, there's a sense of solidarity, a sense that we're part of something so much bigger than ourselves. And that can be incredibly empowering when we're, you know, when we're facing our own battles.
Yeah, it's that reminder that we're not alone in the arena, so to speak.
Exactly. And that even in those moments when we feel like we're, you know, we're facing the storm alone, there's a strength that comes from knowing that others have walked this path before us and they've come out on the other side.
So as we wrap up this deep dive into finding strength in adversity, what's the one thing you hope our listener is really taking to heart today?
You know, for me, it's the realization that adversity, while a guaranteed part of life, doesn't have to have the final say. There's an incredible, incredible well of strength available to us, a strength that's rooted in something beyond our circumstances, beyond our fears, even beyond ourselves.
Beautifully said. And it starts with, you know, acknowledging those storms, seeking rest, finding the strength to persevere, and ultimately choosing to respond to those challenges with love, with courage, and with that unshakable peace that only comes from knowing we're not alone in the midst of it all.
Yes. And remember, you have the strength within you to not only weather those storms, but to emerge from them even stronger and more resilient than you ever thought possible.
And on that incredibly inspiring note, we'll leave you with this question to ponder. What kind of legacy will you leave in the face of adversity? Until next time, keep exploring.